Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We'll be joined by Trevor Nelson, DJ, broadcaster, big talk sport listener.
Yeah, sounded confident, Paul. Confident before the Chelsea
big
game.
Big Chelsea fan, looking ahead to the game against Dortmund. A big pivotal night for the club and indeed the current manager. We also found out more about one of Charlie's other great loves, Iditarod, dog sled racing.
Yeah.
It's a across Alaska.
One of those super hard races, super hard things.
1,000 miles.
Yeah, oh, incredible. Across Alaska.
Yeah.
Lose your fingers and your nose, Paul, if you're not careful.
Oh, it's appalling. So we talked about that. And the Moose, we took him to, well, I say took him to task in a pretty light-hearted way, about the strength of his friendship with one of the world's great explorers. So you'll hear all of that. We had a chat. You got involved. You were on good form today. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Afternoon, Paul. Lovely to see you.
Lovely to
Hope
see you.
Hope you had a nice few days
had
off.
Had a nice time. Now, come back with the aircon off the plane cold,
oh,
which
nice.
Is always a joy to have that.
Oh,
but anyway,
that's nice.
Don't feel sorry
I had,
for
I had
me.
I had a burger at the airport once in Portugal and then had to spend the next 10 days between the bed and the toilet.
Really?
Yes, that happened to me once. So
that's a great joy. Things you came back
nice.
From holiday with. Stuffed donkey under your arm. Things have changed since the 60s.
Have you missed the football while you've been away, Paul? Did you manage to catch it in a bar somewhere?
I caught up with bits and pieces, yeah. I mean, I did stay in touch, obviously, and I listened to our fine commentaries. TalkSport International allows
it,
me
course, yeah.
to keep in touch
Very
with our
nice.
Many... outlets around the world. So yeah, I kept in touch with our commentaries.
Yeah,
was very frustrated by the FA Cup, obviously, and was pretty frustrated by the way Saturday unfolded.
Yeah, that was annoying, wasn't it? For
but
you?
we are going to be the back of the sun today, talking about Manchester United feeling like they could put an offer in of around 100 million for Harry Kane and get him. So we'll be chatting to Theo Delaney about this shortly, about what may happen, how they think it will pan out, and also the moves that. As a Tottenham fan, you feel you could deal with
he does
in losing
to,
such a great player.
He does seem to fit what Ten Hag wants, doesn't he?
Mm.
He does seem to. I mean, I know Wout Weghorst, or as Andy calls him, cart horse, is it feels like a stopgap, doesn't it? All the way along.
Oh yeah,
and
stopgap. You might as well just call him that. Really, it's a name that suits itself to all of that.
It really works, doesn't it?
Yeah. Now, a couple of things to get the listeners going on.
Yes.
One thing you noticed in today's Metro free newspaper.
Yes.
This was quite interesting, wasn't it?
There's a house for sale in Sawtree Station in Newcastleton.
Right.
On the Scottish border.
Newcastleton sounds like one of those made-up names in Roy the Rovers, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who have Melchester got? Oh, we got Newcastleton. Everpool and Newcastleton over the next two matches, yeah.
They've just been bought by the local toilet paper magnate.
Yes, indeed. Of course. That was Franny Lee, wasn't
exactly.
it, of course? Yeah.
Anyway, this house dates back to the 1867, and it's a residential home, 6 bedrooms, 6 bathrooms, stunning panoramic views, plenty of opportunities to get into nature. But to the north of the home, and that comes with it, is an old railway platform and a former railway line, and on that is a Rushton, R-U-S-H-T-O-N, not S-H-D-E-N, a Rushton diesel shunter. 2 wagons and a guards van. You get a steam train with it. You get a diesel train.
Fantastic.
With the house. Comes with the house, with track, everything.
Is it a working diesel train?
It doesn't say if it's
I take
working.
It the track runs out quite quickly, doesn't it?
It's a diesel locomotive. Meg of Sawtree is available. It comes with the house.
Fantastic.
So I thought
it?
We'd do It came with the house.
Yeah, that's good. It came with... That sounds like your new E4 show, doesn't it? Charlie Baker's It Came with the House.
Yeah.
Let us know. It's probably rats and woodworm. But do let us know what came with the house, good and bad.
People leave stuff in lofts, don't they?
Oh, yeah, no, that's a good point. When my mum moved out, I made a big point of clearing it out properly because there was all sorts of stuff up there I never would have realised.
Yeah, well, when we bought our first house, the shed was... The lady, she ran away, basically. She'd left her whole life in the shed. Photographs, record player, absolutely everything. I don't know where she'd gone, but she'd disappeared out of it. I couldn't find her.
Some friends of mine bought a house from people that kind of I knew. They didn't know them very well, but I knew these people. And when they moved in, I said, happy with the house?
Yeah.
They said, yeah, I'm very happy with the house. It was quite interesting. Do you know the people that left? I said, yeah. He said... what sort of work did the wife do? And I said, I'm not sure. And they said, we found a maid's uniform in the top of one of the wardrobes.
All right.
I don't think she's a maid. Don't think she
might
went
a bit of
don't think, don't think she went into maiding. Anyway.
And a fireman's outfit.
Yeah, it came with a house. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. DNA Journey, the TV show, returns tonight.
Nice.
Nothing at all. It's ITV, and it's honestly, don't think for one minute it's anything like Who Do You Think You Are?
From the Pavilion end, DNA Journey.
The difference is they have two people. They don't just have one people on a DNA
it's
journey.
It's in no way
they have
like
two people.
Who Do You Think You Are?
Took me back. I mean, spelling TV, you meet lots of great, talented people, but you meet people that aren't, I think it's fair to say, even at the commissioning. Even some aren't. And you meet them at the... And I just would... You could just see this meeting. They're all saying, we need something for Tuesdays at 9 o'clock. Anybody got any ideas? And they're all drumming the table. And someone says, what about a show where a celebrity goes on a journey to discover their past via DNA?
What a nice
And then they idea. All look at their shoes. No one's thinking, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Don't say who do you think you are. I like this job. I want to keep the pension. Who do you think you are? Yeah. And then someone says, well, what about if it was two celebrities instead of one? That completely changes everything.
Absolutely lovely.
So I was thinking, almost in the same meeting, some of the other stuff that was pitched in the same meeting as DNA Journey would have been Mrs. Smith's Girls, which is a lovely show.
What a lovely show.
I think it's set in Ireland with a mother. I think they call her mother. And it's actually not a woman. It's a man dressed as a woman.
Lovely.
And she has girls, Mrs. Smith. And all sorts of hilarity and japes occur over a half hour.
What a great idea.
Yeah, what about that?
This afternoon,
no one was all looking at their feet.
This afternoon's football. It's not match of the day, Paul. It's not match of the day.
It's not match of the day. So anyway, if you want some nice Me Too formats, I'll be honest, based on DNA Journey, you can probably get these away.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Some beautiful Me Too TV formats coming in the DNA Journey Who Do You Think You Are envelope. Harry Enfield and Vic Reeves go deep sea fishing. Enfield and Reeves go trawling, says Stephen in Liverpool.
Never heard of it.
Nothing,
it's an original
format.
Programming.
Two comedians going fishing, but in the sea, that's the major difference. Well done. Keep those coming.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hawksby and Charlie Baker here on TalkSport. Charlie was telling us earlier on about a house in Newcastleton. It's a place, apparently. Oh, is it in the northeast?
It's on the edge of the Highlands.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Scottish border, sorry.
Oh, okay. And it came with a steam train. So what came with the house? Ryan says, we moved into our rental house at the end of last year. When we went to the loft to store some of our stuff, we noticed a small cardboard box in the corner of the loft. Closer inspection, it was the ashes of the landlord's old dog. R.I.P. Chad.
R.I.P. Chad.
Chad the dog. Thank you, Ryan.
We've had quite a lot of on the similar theme to your maid's outfit, Paul.
Yeah, it wasn't my maid's outfit. I wouldn't look good in a maid's outfit.
It's a whole other show.
Yeah.
A friend of mine moved into an old house and found a stack of vintage nudie books.
Nudie books?
Lovely.
Great to have the word nudie back.
Lovely,
isn't it? Really?
And he flogged them for a small fortune to a collector.
Marvellous.
Mucky, okay. What, dirty boy.
Yeah. Imagine on your Ring doorbell, you'd think, you'd see the black tee. He's the nudie book collector.
Yeah, he's here.
And he's written all over
in
him.
His Mac.
What about what you didn't find in your house? We turned up at the new place, and the owner of the previous owner was very keen on the door handles to all the internal doors because he'd taken them all off.
People do that.
And we took them with him.
We bought a house once and someone took the door knocker off. They took the door knocker with them.
Bleak.
Come on.
That's bad, isn't it?
I think they didn't like the we'd screwed them down on the deal.
Oh, okay. So well, you reap what you sow, Charlie. Thank you, Rob the Wolves fan, for that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Midwinter Murders.
The way you say it gives it a lift.
Midwinter Murders, drama set in the fictional town of Midwinter.
Yeah.
It's nothing like what you're thinking about, Paul.
No, it's not. It's different. Like it. It's a completely different show, isn't it? Yeah, you've been coming up with some of these sort of copycat formats that you sometimes see on TV. We said DNA Journey does have a passing resemblance, you'd say, to Who Do You Think You Are, the well-established one on the other side. We're also asking you about the reasons... what came with the house?
It came with the house.
A steam train up on the Scottish borders. Yeah, I found a secret office in my loft after 2 years of being in the house.
Oh, wow. What was that for?
There was no walkway to it, so we didn't know it was there until we put lights up. It's got a suspended ceiling in there, carpet tiles, plug sockets and a pin board.
A pin board? Sounds like a sort of crime room.
Yeah, no one knows what it was used for and why it was hidden. Well, let's get on to the old owners there. Thank you very much for that. So what came with the house? Do let us know this afternoon. Talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089. Tweet to TSH&J. Trevor Nelson's going to join us shortly.
Absolutely love Trevor Nelson.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Followed him around the golf course. He's a very good player. He was playing with Andy Cole.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was playing with Andy Cole. Followed him around. Andy wasn't as good a player.
Were you playing golf as well? You're just being a bit creepy.
Just followed him around. Hiding behind a tree in the bunker.
Trevor, it's me, Charlie.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now this evening we bring you live commentary of Chelsea versus Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League. Delicately poised at 1-0 from the first leg to Dortmund. So Chelsea know what they've got to do. Graham Potter saying, effectively, get behind the lads. We need the whole crowd with us this evening. It's a big night for him, big night for the club, really. Interesting piece in the Telegraph talking about the structure of the current players' contracts. And the way things have changed a little bit under Abramovich.
Yeah.
But joining us now to talk about it is DJ broadcaster and big Chelsea fan, Trevor Nelson. Hi, Trevor.
Hey, Trevor.
Hi, Paul. Hi, Charlie. How are you?
Yeah, we're good. You're a little bit of nerves ahead of tonight because this, I mean, look, Chelsea have had a proud record in the Champions League, but there seems to be a lot riding on tonight, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to do a Graham Souness sense. I've got a really good feeling. He'll dine off that for life, won't he? Champions League nights are great for any club involved in the Champions League. You know, it's a different atmosphere, just a completely different vibe, as you all know, Paul. Something comes over the club. And I think we put in a good performance, actually, in Dortmund, bar actually scoring as usual. So I think this is the last big game, could be the last big game of the season for Chelsea. So I actually think Potter sounds quite positive, and I think he's right to tell the crowd to get behind the team because it's just been a really tetchy, nervous, verging on toxic place this season.
It was quite nervy. I mean, it was understandable considering the results Chelsea's had, but it was quite nervy when they went in front against Leeds the other day. It felt, I wasn't there, mate, I don't know if you were, but it felt quite tense.
Yeah, I was there. Leeds is always a good atmosphere, you know. Mm. And, you know, I was taking the lead. We didn't know what to do. I actually almost got down on my knees and looked up to the heavens because we scored a goal. It's weird. But you know what the weird thing is, Paul? And I'll tell you what. All the millennials who are not used to losing as Chelsea fans, this has been a real wake-up call for them, how to be a real fan. You know, understand you need a bit of pain. And it was really quite refreshing to see us, you know, being the underdog in so many games this season, seeing how we handle it. And to be fair, most of them haven't handled it very well. Too much calling for the manager's head. I'm not one of those, I'm afraid to say. You're not going to get me saying get him out and all that stuff. I saw little shoots of something there the last few games. What I saw on Saturday is players came out, they were quite intent. They looked like they were playing for the manager. You know, even when Fofana scored his goal, he sort of acknowledged him. And I just don't see the point of this chorus of Potter out during the season. If he goes, he goes at the end of the season. There's no point getting rid of him now. You know, these players are new. A lot of them, they're young, they're inexperienced. Every time I look at Chelsea, I just think, what a quiet team we are. We're just a quiet team, you know. And that never bodes well in any team when you're that quiet. It's like someone makes a mistake or we go one behind and it's just silence. It's like, you know, no one's berating anybody. It's just like, well, you know, they're just nice boys, all of these guys. So, you know.
I think Graham Potter could
go ahead.
I think he could learn from you, Trevor, if I'm honest, because a lot of what's been thrown at Graham Potter this season is he's got so many players, hasn't he? He's got so many players to choose from, all these great players. Whereas you've got the whole of music ever to choose from. You always manage to, put out 2 hours of solid gold bangers. So I think cool under pressure and selection is key, isn't it?
But the only thing about it, I've got a lot of, but you can play a lot of midfield tunes. You know what I mean? You can play a lot of wing-back tunes. Can you play any that score? Because that is our problem. Chelsea fans will hate me saying this, but Liverpool's recruitment, we could learn from their recruitment. That the only reason they put 7 past Man U at the weekend is because they sign goal scorers, people who really want to score goals. We sign a lot of good potential players, but we, you know, João Félix is the best thing I've seen at Chelsea for a while, even though we might not get him. But he caresses that ball and he's hit the woodwork a couple of times when we need him to score. So you can't tell that guy, you know, you're not a good footballer. He's a good footballer. Mm. He should have scored, though. You know, you can't say Raheem Sterling's not a good footballer, but sometimes you say, should have scored. You can't say, you know, Kai Havertz hasn't got ability. Should have scored. You know, it's like, how many times can we keep saying this? So it is very frustrating, guys. And but I'm not one joining the chorus of get him out now. I think, you know, Arteta is so recent in our minds. I couldn't find an Arsenal fan who wanted to keep that man. I mean, the abuse he was getting. And look at him now. So I don't think Potter's a bad coach overnight. Maybe he doesn't have the minerals to be a Chelsea manager in terms of the swag and the swagger. Mm. But I guarantee if we were doing well this season, he was quiet and he was honest. Everyone would go, what a refreshing manager he is. He's quiet. He's honest. Mm. Not going for histrionics. He doesn't try and play the media. But because he's like that, everyone's accused him. I think it's give him a little bit more time just to the end of the season.
Early goal tonight would be key, wouldn't it? For a lot of reasons. A, it gets you back in the tie at home. B, gets the crowd on side and up for it, gives the players confidence. So you need one of those ones to go in sort of first 10 minutes and all bets are off, really.
Absolutely. If we get an early goal, game on. If they score first, I can't see us coming back from two down. I just can't see it. I've not seen Chelsea score 3 goals for a while. So I think we have to get the early goal. I think the crowd have to get behind the team. And I think even if we go out tonight, if it's a good performance, I mean, in Dortmund, it was a decent performance. We go out and it's a good performance. There's still some hope. But if it's a poor performance, we're back to the narrative of get him out. You know, so this is a big, big game. Now, make no bones about it. It's the biggest game of the season for us tonight.
Yeah. Now, we haven't spoken to you since your former microwave finally bit the dust. Everybody knows your place in TalkSport folklore is secured by Max Rushton's his old microwave that finally died. The microwave that he got for you finally died. That was a set. We had a minute silence here on TalkSport, actually.
Mate, you can get him to do a minute silence for once. I mean, he's been stringing that story out for so long.
I don't know if you've seen, he had his Subaru nicked and he got it, he filmed himself, he got it back yesterday to the point where he got so much social media traction out of it. I think he had it stolen just to get a couple of 2 or 3 weeks worth of social media traction out of it.
Is it that old car that he had when he lived next door to me?
No, he's moved to Australia now. He's got his Australian four-wheel drive.
All right, because He had a disgraceful car when we were living in the city. I, you know, when I was talking to him, I'd stand a few yards apart from him because I just didn't want to be seen. He's complete polar opposite to me. Good lad, but, you know, I don't know who he supports either. He supports a few teams.
Cambridge United.
A few. He's got
Tottenham.
A few.
Tottenham is big trophy-winning team, he always says.
You must have had to have a few cars, Trevor, because DJs, they always used to have like a van or, you know, when it was records, wasn't it? You know, have to carry around crates of records and stuff. It's just an MP3 player in it now and just stand next to it.
It's shocking now. You can walk around with a stick. You know, you can walk around with a USB stick and go and say, oh, I'm doing a gig in Australia.
Yeah.
Where's your record? Oh, it's there. It's in my hand. Yeah,
hand
it's
luggage like that only.
It's a long way from the old reggae sound systems where you have to turn up with two wardrobes. Basically, it was more than two wardrobes. And
that was fun. Come on.
Yeah, it was.
How it went. You turn up in a van, you've got your box boys. There was a hierarchy in a sound system. The box boys unload the boxes, which you built yourself, by the way.
Yeah.
You bought the tweeters. It was great fun. You got your operator. You got your mic man. You got your hangers on. There was about 20 guys in each sound system. It was brilliant. And about 10 people turn up at the party. So that's 30 people. Crazy days. Brilliant days.
The good thing about travelling with a stick, Charlie the cabbie tells us, I've seen Trevor in his open top Merc, which you can, all you've got is a stick, he says, you're all right. Now, you are out and about gigging, Trevor, I understand at the moment.
I am doing gigs. I'm not plugging anything. I've just come on to say hello to you, mate.
Oh, that's nice.
A DJ's life is a DJ. I mean, I'm still gigging. There's still demand for, you know, old school music that I play. I love it. And I'm dealing with a middle-aged pound now. I've accepted my place. So I won't play nightclubs. You'll never see me in a nightclub. I only play in venues now, you know, because nightclubs are, you know, parents don't want to go to a place their kids go to, right? So you do live venues. And this is a new one. I love gigs that finish at 1 o'clock in the morning. My daughter's now a DJ.
Wow.
And she's headlining the Jazz Cafe this Friday.
Fantastic.
So I'm going down there to embarrass her because her dad's done it and now she's done it. I don't know how many daughters and fathers ever headlined the Jazz Cafe before, but that's unique. So that'll be a first. And so I leave it up to her to be the young creative, you know, and I'm just doing the old school stuff. It's still great fun, mate. I tell you, I never thought I'd still be DJing at this age.
Brilliant.
Ever.
Well, always good to talk to you. Enjoy tonight.
Thanks,
as
Trevor.
Much as you can. It's going to be tense.
I won't enjoy it. But please, everybody listening, remember where this club was a year ago. I didn't think I'd have a club. So I you know, everyone's going on about it, but you know, I didn't think we'd have a good season this season. When the owner got this deposed, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just thought, are we going to still be in the Prem? Good. I'm happy. One bad season. But remember, when Chelsea have a bad season, we tend to win the Champions League somehow. Yeah.
Good to talk to you, Trevor. All the best.
See you guys later.
See you later. Cheers. Trevor Nelson there, DJ broadcaster and Chelsea fan. Live on TalkSport tonight, of course, that game, all the build-up from 7.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby and Charlie Baker here on TalkSport. And we want to get you going on something else. Let's add to the mix, shall we?
Come on.
This is because Ben White, Arsenal's Ben White, was in the papers today. And he's one of those school of footballers that isn't massively interested in football. He just happens to be very good at it. He doesn't watch a lot of football. He says, he doesn't remember a time his dad ever saying, let's go and watch a match or watch a game on the telly.
No.
He happens to, and there are footballers like that,
just
be very
really
good
at
something.
Yeah.
He said he only watches kind of clips of himself to make himself better, and they'll put together stuff to improve his performances. The only thing I did wonder was, if you are, you know, by osmosis, you'd watch other football, you'd watch Match of the Day, you'd watch a live game or whatever, and you'd think, okay, I've got to be playing that guy soon. Wouldn't you just sort of pick stuff up about players by watching? I mean, I'm sure the club does a lot of that for you.
Maybe he just always feels like it's work. You know, maybe when he's
maybe
doing
it's a
it,
way of
this
switching
is work,
off.
You know. So.
But what he also said, more importantly for this, was he would have quite happily been a gardener like his dad.
He
said, if I'd been a gardener, I would have put the same level of work and preparation into it as I do as a professional footballer. Yeah. And it took me back to those old Shoot magazines, remember back in the day when they said, if you weren't a footballer, what do you think you'd be?
Lovely, yeah.
And in the case of Ben White, he would have said, a gardener.
A gardener with me dad.
Yeah, gardener with me dad. But I just wondered, if you're a gardener, what do you think you would have been?
Well, if you weren't a gardener.
If you weren't a gardener. So let's give the listeners the
a
chance
of people
to have
choose
their own,
to be a gardener.
Their own...
Must be a nice lifestyle, Paul.
Yeah, you're out. You're outside, aren't
you? Out and about, you know, aren't you? You know, making stuff look nice. Long-term
pleasing
thinking,
people, aesthetically pleasing work. So yeah, if you know, if you weren't an ex, what do you think you'd be? You can tell us this afternoon. Your own little bit of Shoot magazine.
What a lovely idea.
But I mean, maybe just now and again, it would be a bit of a shock that Ben went home to see the folks and then just got back on the tours. Wouldn't he? Just went round and while Dad's sorting out the beds, they just went like an hour tidy. Dad's sorting out the flower beds. Old Ben's got the old mower out.
Or he's aerating the lawn. One of those demossing everything. Yeah, very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, okay, well, let us know.
He says that, Paul. He says he'd like to have been a gardener.
No, he says he could have been a gardener.
He's not getting 100,000 quid a week being a gardener. He might do. Unless you're like Alan Titchmarsh or something, you know.
Who knows? He may have gone down that route. You know, and he may have done it and not even like gardening. So if you weren't X, what do you think you'd be? Let us know. Talksport.com, text 1889, tweet TSH and J. We're talking about these kind of copycat formats. DNA Journey starts again tonight. A very good series, but it is effectively ITV's version of Who Do You Think You Are? We were joking that in the meeting, I think it may Ant and Dec kicked it off. It might be their company that make it. But
we've come up with a show.
Yeah. But I think, to be fair, and the boys would admit this, if they go in with a show, if they went in with Ant and Dec, put your head in a bucket, it would probably get made. They'd do a pilot at least. Yeah, because they trust them, and they're right to trust them because
they've got the mind. How does it work, put your head in a bucket, Paul?
I can get to them.
Do they put their head in the bucket straight away?
I don't know.
Or is it ahead in a series of buckets?
It's. I think you build up to the big bucket off. I haven't given this any
thought.
Maybe
the buckets get smaller and there's more in the bucket as it goes along.
So you're running with this now. But the point I'm making
to work
is...
work out the format.
You do get some kind of copycat formats. Casually Come Dancing, Andy in Cambridge. Nice. He thinks would be quite nice.
Not too strict.
A slightly just free form. Just dad dance.
Just turn up on the night.
Just jiggle about
a bit. I've done absolutely no training this week, Tess. Yeah. Absolutely nothing. To be honest, I'd forgotten it was on.
Has it been painful this week? No, not really. I've just turned up and jiggled about a bit. Celebrities jiggling about a bit. We'd all watch it, wouldn't we? And what did you find? What did the house come with is what we're asking, because up on the Scottish borders, there's a steam train going with a house that's for sale.
Yeah, very nice.
2 years ago, a friend of ours found a bundle of very raunchy love letters that dated back over 50 years.
Well, that's nice, isn't it? That's really nice.
That would tell a story. I imagine that'd be quite interesting.
50 years ago, what was that? So the 80s? Was that the 80s? No.
What, 50 years ago?
50 years ago, it's the 70s. It's 70s, Paul.
It is the 70s.
Because you think, the war, yes, the war. It's not the war, is it, anymore? No. It's like saying, when was the year 2000? About 10 years ago, wasn't it? Unbelievable.
In the attic, when I moved in, was tourist information and holiday guide brochures for Afghanistan. Not so much your holiday destination these days, says Simon in Exeter.
Visit Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Lovely, very nice.
Doctor Whom. he travels through time and space correcting grammatical errors. So very good, Mick. Thank you very much. So some of those formats you were coming up with today.
Raffo in Colville's been in touch. I became a gardener after failing my apprenticeship as a greenkeeper. Slipped through the net, like being let go from the youth team.
Yeah.
Isn't it? You've gone for it. You've gone for it, Raffo, is to try and make it as a professional greenkeeper. Didn't quite make it. They've had to let you go. You've slipped down.
What a great shame.
You've slipped down and now you're your own gardener. Good luck with it, Raffo.
Also on TV tonight, Charlie, is Scarlett's Driving School. The Sun, who are very much Scarlett Moffat fans, said today, sometimes you just know the TV show you're watching won't be getting another series.
Oh, really? Oh,
it's basically Scarlett in the role of Maureen off Driving. Oh, remember Maureen from Driving?
She had a single out, Paul.
One of those people that had their little sort of 5-10 minutes off the back, like Jeremy, I Can't Spake.
She's on the old postcode lottery ad now, isn't she, Maureen?
Is she?
That's
what
they all end up, isn't it?
Yeah.
They all end up on there. So
off of Airport, wasn't it, Jeremy Spake?
I Can't Spake.
It's fantastic. And they get an agent and they go full on, don't they, for about... sixth-month window. It's important to know going into that you've got 6 months until the next series starts.
I worked with Stavros Flatley once.
They live around the corner from me.
Yeah, they were really good. The little lads, about 6 foot tall now.
Yeah, I know.
A big chap. I don't think he does it anymore.
No, I think they go out now and again. They
really?
Do a bit of a one-off.
Yeah, they're ever so good.
But he's much taller than his dad. But he went to school with my youngest lad, actually.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Our own Ian Abrahams is fresh from Antonio Conte's press conference ahead of Tottenham against Milan yesterday. We'll touch on that. We'll touch on a night of National League football as well. Mm-hmm. But as the Moose joins us. Hello, Moose.
Hey, Moose.
Hi, guys. How are you? Yeah,
good, thank you. But we're going to kick off with something that you've become quite famous for on social media. Sending birthday greetings to your many chums from around the world of sport and beyond. Now, today, let's look at some of the selection. It's our old mate Ray Parler. We should wish Ray happy 50th. He's happy enjoying 50th, himself Ray. Out in Antigua to celebrate that.
Maybe have a couple of drinks.
I think he might.
He's take the weight off a little bit, you know.
Yeah,
nice change.
He has been doing rather well with he's come up with a special drink. We'll come back to it a little bit later on. Jordan Pickford's birthday. Nice picture with Ian. With Jordan, big smiles on their faces, shaking hands. Lots of lovely pictures with Ray. Nice picture too with the Sutton United assistant manager Jason Goodliff.
Oh yeah.
And also a nice one with Cameron McIntosh, son, coach and nice. Son of the great John Toshack. But then amongst all those was a slight outlier. Happy 79th birthday to explorer Sir Ranulph Fiennes. Have a great day, my friend. Now, this picture was taken in the corridor at TalkSport on the occasion of when Sir Ranulph Fiennes joined us on the show. It was the only time I've ever met him, and I'm guessing the only time Ian's ever met him as well. And Sir Ranulph has got a bit of what do you think? Looking at the facial expression on Sir Ranulph, they don't look like the greatest of friends, do they? It's someone whose hand you've seized in a corridor, Moose. I mean, how
close...
It doesn't
feel like you're singing, "So No One Told Me Life Was Gonna Be This Way."
Yeah. I mean, are you close?
We don't exactly exchange Christmas cards and stuff like that. I mean, you know, I do every year remember his birthday, and you know, obviously in awe of the expeditions he's done and all that sort of stuff. But no, I wouldn't say if I was having a dinner party tomorrow night, he would be top of the list. But you know,
But you have to do some research on these. You have to look at all your old picture archive whenever someone's birthday comes up. Have you got them all cross referenced? How long does this take you to do all this?
It actually really doesn't take that long, but people get very upset if you don't mention them. Quite often, I come across a footballer on a weekend or midweek, and you know, I would chat with them and I say, "By the way, it was my birthday last week. Thanks for not putting up as my birthday." Hence, I normally put up a belated happy birthday. But I mean, it's a bit of fun. That's what it's meant for. It's a bit of fun. I mean, you know, I get a lot of people on social media sort of saying, "Oh, you know, he's not really your friend." Well, clearly. Sometimes I have only met the person once or twice, you know, so clearly they're not that close friends. But, you know, I just think it's a nice thing to do.
Well, I don't want to insult.
I think it's nice.
It is nice. I don't want to insult you now because I know you and Sir Ranulph are good mates. But I've got three questions here about Sir Ranulph Fiennes that hopefully you can answer. And we'll test the strength of this friendship. So here we go. Three questions for the great adventurer and explorer, Sir Ranulph Fiennes. What do Sir Ranulph's friends call him? And you'd know this, so it's a bit insulting. insulting. Is it A, Rafe, B, Ren, or C, Finzi?
It's definitely A.
No,
it's B.
Rafe. No, it's B. Ren. He's known as Ren. You maybe keep calling him Rafe. No wonder he doesn't phone you back. In 1969, Rafe, no, not Rafe, Ren, ventured up the White Nile. Have you ever ventured up the White Nile, Charlie? leading his first expedition using which form of transport? Was it A, a kayak? B, a Viking longship, or C, a hovercraft? I'm sure he's often talked to you about the old 69 White Nile,
You and Ran over a couple of pints.
He always mentions it was definitely C.
What, the hovercraft?
Yeah.
Well done, congratulations, it was. Good. Up the White Nile in a hovercraft, which sounds like a euphemism. Number three, what did Sir Ranulph do when his mummified frostbitten fingers were giving him jip? Did he A, put some ointment on him? B, visit the hospital to get them treated, or C, pop down to his garden shed, dig out a micro blade, and saw them off. So what did he do? Did he saw off his frostbitten fingers, go to the hospital, put some ointment on them?
Well, funny enough, we have actually spoken about this, because I could not have done what he did. It was definitely C.
It was C, You've seen the tips that they took off.
The friendship with Sir Ranulph and Eumus, they didn't get the... They didn't find the inspiration for the Banshees of Inisherin.
Oh, yeah. Did they? That's it. That's why he went down the shed and cut them off. He said, I don't want to be your friend anymore.
Please stop
ringing me. Or
I did not have done that, I tell you what.
What I should have said then, pop down the garden shed, got the microblade out, sawed them off, and throw them at the moose's door. Anyway, Ian, let's move on. But well done. Two out of three ain't bad. As one of your other mates, sadly, no longer with us, Meatloaf once said.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby and Charlie Baker here on Talk Sport. As you've been hearing, the Liverpool fans who travelled to a very troubled Champions League final in Paris are going to be refunded for their tickets. But I saw David Conn from The Guardian just tweeting that the lawyers who are representing 900 of the Liverpool fans say the refund isn't enough. UEFA did not just ruin the biggest event in the football season. People were injured and traumatised, and any compensation needs need to reflect that. And you can see the point, can't you? Saying, okay, you were crushed, you were traumatised, you were tear gassed, and you were mugged in many cases. So, sorry, here's your money back.
Yeah, not great.
Here's your 150 quid for your ticket. I think a lot of Liverpool fans who were there won't just, if not seeking compensation, which many are, understandably, will be wanting a bit more of a transparent process around how they select venues for tournaments. Yeah. And you know, maybe the right to question some of it. I mean, even when I went to the one in Madrid, there were shortcomings there. No guidance to how we got to the stadium. We just sort of, no one there from UEFA, no stewards to point you in the right direction. Mm. It was a mess, really. And that went off without incident, but could have been worse. But, I mean, what happened in Paris was a disgrace. And, you know, you kind of feel that you want people to be held responsible for it as well. You know, heads need to roll. You know, you need to know who decided it would go. I know it was quite late notice, but you know, they made a right pig's ear on
it. Yeah, I mean, I think what happened at Wembley for the Euros final, I mean, they came down quite heavily on that, didn't they? Missed a game and all that sort of stuff. But, yeah, you're right, a refund isn't quite
enough. And I saw some of the Liverpool supporters calling for Cheffrin's head, the head of UEFA. You know, I mean, ultimately it was his call, wouldn't it? But I'm sure he'll pass that down the food chain somehow.
I can't imagine it'll be him, Paul. No, absolutely.
As we've been hearing in Fletcher's bulletins, I don't think we've heard the last of that. It's not going to placate a lot of the fans who are out there go through that at that final.
Country Life, Paul. Roger Clifford's been in touch with a format, a copycat format. Country Life, various presenters travelling across the UK looking into aspects of the life in the country. Definitely not Country File.
Doesn't feel like Country File.
It's just an anagram of the second word, of course.
Stephen from Lisburn gives us Houses Under the Screwdriver. That's nice mid-morning feel. Cheap Tat Hunt.
I'd watch it. I'd watch that.
Of course you would.
This is a good idea from Stephen Elliott. Yeah, Last Date.
Stephen Elliott, Last Date. We're just chatting to Fred there. Couples at the end of their relationships slag each other off over a candlelit dinner hosted by Fred. We could have put it to him, Last Date.
Should have asked it. That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, but I mean, okay. Who's going to? I mean,
day
I
know, before the divorce goes
I
through.
People, I know what people want to be on TV. Maybe they'll find some common ground at the last moment.
I tell you what, he needs to keep that to himself, Stephen. Yeah. Someone will have that.
Put that in your back pocket.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Talking of clips of the week, I created one earlier on.
You did?
With the moose. I said, Cameron, I meant to say Cameron Toshack, son, the coach, son of John Toshack. But apparently, I said Cameron McIntosh, son of John Toshack, which was probably a shock to everybody.
Yeah, it's nice.
But Cameron McIntosh.
John Toshack musicals.
Come on, let's have your musical impresario slash footballers. Cameron McIntoshack. It sounds like one of those, doesn't
Andrew
it?
Lloyd, Dave Webber.
There we are.
Dave Webb.
David Webber. Okay, well, I think we probably exhausted that. But to get in touch, oh, yeah, by the way, Clive's been in touch. You said being a gardener is a fantastic job. Oh, yeah, you know, you're comparing it, yeah, it with Ben White, who said he would happily have been a gardener if not a footballer. I'm a gardener, Charlie, says Clive. Yeah, great life. Freezing cold hands, getting stuck with hawthorns all day. So glad I'm not a footballer, he says. Clive. So,
Keep going, Clive.
If you weren't a ex, what do you think you'd be? Because we know Ben White, in the style of the old Shoot magazines, would have been a gardener had he not been a footballer. So tell us what you would have been had you not been doing what you're doing now. Your chance to be than that last question in the Shoot player profiles. Plus, it came with the house.
Yeah.
Charlie told us about a house up on the Scottish borders that's coming with a steam train. You get a free steam train when you buy the house. It's outside. So what came with your house? We've had some quite interesting stuff so far. And those copycat formats in the style of DNA Journeys on ITV, which returns tonight. Nothing like Who Do You Think You Are? To the point where I think the Bieber putting on a repeat of Judy Dench's Who Do You Think You Are on the other side.
On purpose.
To give you a bit of a choice of viewing.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yes, good afternoon. Paul Hawksby, Charlie Baker here on TalkSport, where we're going to talk Iditarod.
Yes.
So what's it about the sport that you love so much?
Well, I like the documentaries I've watched on it, Paul. There's one called From Safety to Nome, which isn't actually about the Iditarod. It's about a separate event where you can do the 1,000 miles across the top of Alaska on foot or by bike, and they have these bikes with massive tires. That they do it on as well. Yeah. So I just like that it looks impossibly hard, and people are obviously either walking away from something in their lives. Because to say to your family, yes, I'm going to do a 1,000 mile walk alone across, might make you think that you don't like your family very much. But the Iditarod, they do it with dogs. And I watched, there's a documentary series on Netflix called Losers.
Yeah, yeah.
Which Torquay United are part of.
They were here, that's right.
The whole Bryn the Dog story.
That was dog related.
And there's an Iditarod episode of that.
Yeah.
Which is very, very good indeed, which I can only... And it's cold, Paul, and it's cold. I'm just looking at the long-term weather forecast.
It's not quite
Alaska, but I'm looking at Cheltenham. Because that's a week today, isn't it?
Yeah.
11 degrees and raining, first day.
I know.
A low of 5. Second day, degrees.
We're not doing it by dog sled. We're going to get the train.
8 degrees and raining.
Mm.
Second day. No good this,
Paul. Well, yeah, we were talking to Paddy Power about
9
this.
Degrees and raining. Third day, Friday, 9 degrees and a light breeze and a bit of showers.
There's going to be a lot of rain next week at the Cheltenham Festival, but that won't put us off.
It'll be cold. Sounds cold and wet, but we'll have a nice time, Paul.
Yeah, sounds like you're right up for it. So Charlie will be there out and about on the course. If you see Charlie, obviously run. But if he makes eye contact and you're duty bound to have a chat with him, he will be chatting to you at Cheltenham next week.
If anyone does see me about with the microphone, come and say hello. We'll interview you. You'll get on air.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. We'll be coming to you live as we always do. We'll have live racing for you as well from the Cheltenham Festival. Yeah, the Iditarod 1,000 mile race with sled dogs in Alaska. It's the smallest field, they say, of competing sled dog teams that ever take place in the Iditarod. I imagine it's quite an expensive thing to do, but it started today. The ceremonial start, and we'll find out more.
Train all the dogs with you. Take all your dogs. Take all your food with you. Everything. Feed the dogs. You know.
We'll speak to someone who was
exciting.
4 times he's taken part in it, Max Hall. Beyond that, though, on the TV format side, this will be a good one from Adrian in Lincoln. He got a sitcom idea.
Okay.
First of the winter beers. Three
That's
old
nice.
Men going down a hill.
For young men.
Yeah,
three young men.
Three young men going down a hill in. some a go kart.
Yeah, there that's we are. It. Very that's nice. It. Yeah, fantastic. What a nice yeah. idea. Very
Don
good.
Rogers and Hammerstein. That's very good.
Oh, they
yeah.
picked you up on your.
John they have
Cameron McIntosh,
Bill Kenwright Phillips. Very good, Peter in Bradford. The other one was Brocky. Very good because I said Cameron McIntosh. Yes, or something like that. Tim Pat Rice.
Very nice.
For the millennials.
That's very nice.
Yes. And what else have we got?
I bought a house, which is, what did the house come with after? I was reading you yes. earlier about a house on the Scottish borders that comes with its own diesel train and carriage.
Lovely, isn't it?
And
yeah.
track.
Yeah.
I don't know if it worked. I mean, it'd be lovely if it worked. Imagine that for the kids.
Yeah.
Amazing. I bought a house which was three houses built into an old manor house. Each house comes with a lord title and a cricket ground in the grounds, which is rented for £1.50 per year from the local club, and 50p is posted yearly into my house from the club.
Oh, that's
Isn't
nice.
That brilliant?
Yes.
I mean, I wonder where that is. That sounds quite like it's going to be quite posh, Paul. I can't imagine.
Somebody called Peel says, when I moved into my uni halls, it came with a 2 litre bottle of pop in the wardrobe that unfortunately wasn't pop.
Oh, dear. Oh, no.
That's not good, is it?
That's not what you want.
What a lovely housewarming present that is.
I don't know how brilliant. It sounds like they've been camping and brought it home with them.
Adam in Cranley is looking, he's got another copycat TV show.
Okay, yeah.
Count Up. Where two contestants try and make the longest word out of nine randomly selected letters plus an additional maths game. Count up, you just come up with the title, you just change the title.
Nice, very nice.
Work,
I went to Aldershot Away on Saturday.
Yeah, you were saying,
to watch Torquay United. Have you ever been to Aldershot, the Aldershot ground?
I've not been to the Aldershot ground, no.
If you want to step back in time to sort of what it was like in the 80s when you went to football grounds,
what was it about it then?
It's just something about it that just felt untouched.
Right.
Felt like it had been preserved in Aspic from like 1987.
Really?
Just the way it, you know, everything's still terraced, you know, a few seats here and there. You could, you know, pretty much see from every angle.
Mm.
They haven't updated any of the stadiums whatsoever. You know, you could almost swim on the floors of the toilets. You know, just
you're not painting a very pretty picture.
It was like a step back in time football museum. It's
this
own
is not
football museum.
Like a compliment.
No, it was. It was a.
It's like
a
one
real
of those
compliment.
Living museums. Yeah. Like the Leeds Museum.
To get to the away end, you had to walk up this massive hill. Everyone's knackered by the time they get to the away end. Too tired to start any trouble. And it was absolutely. I mean, we drew 1-1, but it was just the whole experience was great. I highly recommend Aldershot Away.
Okay, well, Dion says, I bought my first house back in 2011, fell in love with it the first sight, carpets included, the estate agents informed me. It took me only a few hours to realise when I moved in the reason. Thousands of fleas, absolutely infested. Free with the house, says Dion, the Leicester City fan.
How do you get rid of fleas, you know? I don't know. I think
you get rid of the carpet.
Oh, that's what you do.
In this particular instance, certainly.
Deal or deal?
Not much of a format.
You don't
it?
Open the boxes, you just get an offer off the banker.
Yes.
And walk out. Very nice. Thank
deal
you.
Deal or deal. Very
Thank
good.
Thank you, Anonymous.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, when you support Torquay United, you need another love in your life, don't you? And what better to take your mind off the football than endurance dog sledding across Alaska?
Brilliant.
Which is how Charlie got into Iditarod.
Just some stuff looks so difficult.
Yeah.
And, like, you just go, how does anyone ever get into that, Paul?
Well, it's underway, the latest Iditarod. They set off, I believe, from Willow, 70 miles north of Anchorage. 1,000 miles across Alaska's landscape. Pretty impressive. Let's speak to someone who has done it four times. Four-time Iditarod musher. And that is Max Hall. Good afternoon, Max.
Good afternoon.
Wow. It sounds like a heck of a challenge. It's not something you take on lightly, is it?
It takes some time before you get to the start line. A couple of years training before you get to the start line, certainly.
And where did you do the training, Max? Because obviously you need snow to train, I would have imagined.
Oh, there's no point in trying to train for it in the UK. I used to go across to, I'd spend about 3 month-long visits in Alaska prior to the race start. I'd probably go out in maybe September, October for 3 weeks and then probably go out at Christmas time for a month and then dash back to the office to see if I still had a business and then about 6 weeks in total whilst the race is on and mopping up after it.
Yeah. As you're not a local, how do you kind of pull a team of dogs together? How many dogs are pulling you? Is it six or is it more than that?
No. It's changed over the years. Prior to 1990, you used to be allowed to start with 22 dogs.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
They changed that in the early 90s to 16 dogs, which was usually when I was running the race. And recently they've dropped it down to 14. So now, out there on the trail, they'll be racing teams of maximum 14 dogs.
Wow. And obviously you've got to feed the dogs, got to look after the dogs and all that. Do you have a team with you, or is part of it that you do it on your own?
Oh, yeah, you've got to feed them. and they eat a lot. I mean, typically we would be feeding about 12 pounds of dog food, 12 meals a day to them, equivalent of maybe each dog having 40 Big Macs a day. No, they have what's called the Iditarod Air Force, which is an air force of about 40 bush pilots who offer their airplanes and their time to the cause of the race. And they will spend about 3 weeks prior to the race start flying over the trail, and they will drop supplies, which we as the mushers would take down. I would take down a full 40-foot truckload of supplies to Anchorage freight depots in the airports about 3 weeks before the race. And the bush pilots would fly over the trail in those remaining 3 weeks. Mm. And they would drop supplies at approximately 100-mile intervals where the checkpoints occurred. A checkpoint is usually either a tent on a river or a log cabin. But if there are any Inuit Eskimo villages, will use the infrastructure that's there.
It's not cheap, I would imagine, to enter a race like this, Max, either, is it?
No.
See, you've got to do it for the... I mean, what's the prize for winning? Is it a fairly serious financial prize, or...?
I'm not sure where it's at the moment, but certainly in my day, I ended up racing the B team for the guy who was winning in the 90s, and that was a guy called Doug Swingley in Montana, and I was running his B team. And Doug would be coming home with a new pickup truck for the halfway prize and a handful of gold from somewhere else he'd picked up on being first to the Yukon or something like that.
Yeah.
And then he'd probably get, I can't remember what it was. It was about $400,000, I think, for winning.
Okay, well, yeah. Serious amount of money. The dogs get a biscuit. It's not fair, is it? Life isn't fair.
And Max, is it the sort of thing you do because nothing else feels difficult enough? I know a lot of people find their solace in stuff being so difficult that they're being pushed to their outer limits.
No, it wasn't like that necessarily for me. I was very into the dogs and the animals and the concept of, you know, letting them do what they want to do, and that was more the trigger for me, I think.
Yeah. And how close did you get to winning?
Oh, nowhere near. If you start that race as a foreigner and you expect to be coming in the top 10, you're going to disappoint yourself, because you're competing against guys who are spending their entire lives about nothing more than the race. And so as a foreigner, you're not going to break any records. I did okay. I was not considered the Jamaican dog bobsleigh team at the end of it. You know. Sure.
Not the Iditarod version of cool running.
No, there we are.
But
no,
it's the smallest field yet. There's a lot of reasons for that. They've suggested this. Pandemic and a lot of people have retired who've done it before. So it's a smaller field than usual.
Certainly a lot of the big names like Martin Boozer and Jeff King, who've won it many times, they've chosen this year to pull out, I think. And with them, probably there comes a bit of fallout alongside that. Yeah. And certainly, I think the financial impact of the pandemic has had an influence.
Well, good to speak to you, Max.
Fantastic. Congratulations on doing it four times. Yeah, something that's impressive. Seemingly impossible for everybody else.
So. Andy, you should. Sorry, Charlie, you should make it an ambition of yours to go and do it, mate.
Even just watch it. It'd be great. Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you, Max.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thank you.
There we are. Thanks. Four times I did the rod musher. Max Hall. Mush. You'd love
I'd
to do
like
that.
I'd like to do that bit.
You ever done the dog sledding,
no,
Charlie?
No, I quite fancy it. I did it. You've done it, have you?
I did it in a bit of Swedish Lapland, went on a birthday trip. And when the dogs know they're going out, you think, do they enjoy it? Do they enjoy it? The dogs know they're going to bring them out and put them on, they're going bonkers.
But they love
they
it.
They can't wait for a run.
Does it smell, Paul? Can you imagine it smells? They aren't being behind 20 dogs.
Not in the open air like that.
Maybe not.
Charlie's been in touch. One of the listeners says, does somebody have to follow them around with a sort of black bag? Because that's 1,000 miles as well for them, isn't it, really? Picking it up. There'd always be someone saying, here, pick up after your dog, mate.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter if you're in the frozen wastes of Alaska.
But
anyway.
I do recommend, the whole Losers documentary series, but that episode is particularly good as well.
And also that longer one you said, which was impressive.
From safety to Nome. They do it on foot. Yeah. People lose their hat, fingers and noses and all sorts in it.
Really?
Yes, one little slip, frostbite pull. Nightmare. Yeah, well,
down the shed.
Friends with Moose.
Microblade. That's it.
The lot.
Like Moose's mate.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That was this afternoon's show.
Smashing. Loved it.
I feel duty bound to do it all again tomorrow with Andy Jacobs. You'll be back on Thursday.
See, does it for a spread, Paul? Are we back on the spread?
The birthday spread's back.
You've had your warm weather training. So. We'll be back.
You're on a hot run of form. I'm hoping that mid-season break might just get me back on the horse.
The momentum's gone, I reckon.
Yeah, we'll find out. You were like Leicester before the World Cup. You didn't want it to end. Anyway, we'll do all that tomorrow. Do hope you can join us. If not, podcast is available around 4.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.